Hello, everyone, and welcome to Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. I am your host, Tony Peters. Thank you for tuning in today. As you probably realize, we did not have an episode air last week. Just because there was so few changes to report, we felt there wasn't a need to update on a podcast. This week, we have a lot of changes. We have got two new number one ranked teams. So this is going to be a really interesting episode. So we're going to start off with the ranking update, as well as we have a lot of games this week that are really going to be games to watch. And then we're going to round out this episode by doing a quick check-in of all the conferences, all 11 that we cover, and just see where we are at currently with the conference races. So sit back, relax, enjoy listening to some talk on basketball, and we will go ahead and get started with the power rankings. So in Division One, we have got some changes here. The number one team will continue to be the Centerville Elks at 7-2. Number two will be Wayne at 9-1. Three, Miamisburg at 11-3. Four, West Carrollton returns at 6-3. And then five will be Troy at 8-3. Starting from the top, Centerville, there's really nothing to report here. They haven't played this week. They had shut down due to COVID precautions, so their three games this week were postponed. For the Elks, they've only got two losses on the year. One is a buzzer beater to Miamisburg, the other getting beat by the best team in the state of Ohio, in my opinion, or was, in Moeller. The Elks hold this number one spot. They did beat Wayne a few days ago, so that's one reason why they've got the head-to-head here. Speaking of Wayne, they took care of business this week, beating Northmont 65-54, Ponitz 82-50, and then their big win, they took out Miamisburg 43-39. And what this win did, in our opinion, was secure that Wayne was the higher team. If Miamisburg had won this game, there would have been a lot of conversation if the Vikings should be the number one team, because then they would have had wins over Centerville and Wayne. With Wayne winning this, it kind of made a three-way tie at the top. You have Centerville that beat Wayne but lost to Miamisburg. You had Wayne that had beaten Miamisburg but lost to Centerville, and then Miamisburg's buzzer beating win over Centerville and then lost to Wayne. So at this point, then it was, we have to look at the three teams and determine of these three who are truly the three best teams. And we felt in that order, Centerville, Wayne, and Miamisburg, when looking at the three, those are the three best. Everyone plays each other another time, so there will be another chance for these teams to make some separation. And we'll have to see from there which schools ultimately move around. West Carrollton returned, Miamisburg, I should say, they did beat Bellbrook 51-32. And then they had the loss to Wayne. West Carrollton returns to the power rankings. They finally getting back into a groove. They had a very busy week this week with four games. They beat Butler 58-48, knocked off Troy 60-41, knocked off Fairborn 77-54, and then ultimately lost last night to Tippecanoe 75-65. West Carrollton back into it after, you know, they got to a very slow start, then they had some slowdowns due to the COVID, and then they've just picked it up since then. Alan Lattimore, their senior, is playing phenomenal right now. You throw that in with sophomore Sam Walker, and this Pirates team is starting to play like the team we thought they were going to be. And at this point, if they can continue to play the way they're playing, they could, you know, legitimately challenge Miamisburg at that number three spot. Rounding it out, the power rankings will be Troy. They had a busy week this week as well. They fell to West Carrollton. They beat Xenia 60-47. And then last night, double overtime win over Fairborn 73-71. Troy, you know, the loss to West Carrollton hurt. The reason they are where they are, and as you can tell, Butler dropped out after being, they were number five last week. Butler's on a three-game losing streak. They've been without their leading scorer, Tyler Monahue, who leads the Miami Valley League in scoring. And Troy has a head-to-head win over Butler as well. So we felt that the Trojans, with the better record, with the better streak, and then the head-to-head, was the better option to sit here at number five. Obviously, Butler in the honorable mention this week, as well as Franklin and Springfield. Now, you may be asking, why is Franklin, who's 10-1, still not ranked in your power rankings yet?
Same with Springfield. Why are they 4-4 and they're ranked? Well, Springfield's 4-4, but they're 4-2 in the GWAC. And really, you know, they have played, they've started to really come alive as well. You know, I was talking with Sean McCullough, their head coach, and they definitely feel like they're finally getting into a groove. You watch this team play, they're definitely in a groove. I watched them on film against Thomas Worthington, one of the best schools in Columbus, and, you know, they handled their own against them. So Springfield, I think, is starting to play their best, and they have a win over Miamisburg, which is good. They obviously, that Centerville loss where they gave up 101 points is a little bit of a head-scratcher, but they got off to a late start in their season, so I don't hold that too much against them. For Franklin, I've talked about this in previous podcasts, but Franklin just doesn't play the schedule compared to the rest of these teams that we feel confident moving them into the top five. Yes, they're 10-1, but you have to look at who are they beating. Their only loss is against Cincinnati McNicholas, but the Southwestern Buckeye League teams that they are beating are not really comparable wins when you put them up against that of West Carrollton and Troy, which, you know, beating some of the better teams in the MVL to me is a little more deserving. Now, that being said, Franklin this year is in D1, obviously. I think this year they have a very good chance come tournament time that they could upset an MVL team if they get a lower seed, which I anticipate they will, even with a great record, because more than likely the GWAC and MVL schools are going to vote each other higher than the Wildcats. So that's why Franklin's on the outside. That's why Springfield's on the outside. That's Division One. Really no major conversations there. It's Centerville, Wayne, and Miamisburg are really your top three. West Carrollton starting to make an argument if they can continue playing well to be in that list as well. Division Two, finally everyone on this list has started playing. The last episode we did 2 weeks ago, the Dayton City League and Trotwood were supposed to start playing. They've all started to play, and their recent games are now reflected in these updated power rankings. So Division Two, number one team is still Trotwood Madison. They are 2-1, and we're going to keep them here. I'll explain a little bit why they're still here. Tippecanoe is number two, and I'm sure there's people wondering why the 10-0 Red Devils are still behind Trotwood. Again, we'll talk about this shortly. Number three is Dunbar. They move back up. They had been dropping the last couple weeks due to them not playing and just Tippecanoe and Fenwick playing so well. Dunbar now has three convincing wins, so we move them back up. Fenwick drops to number four this week, and then Alter holds the spot at number five. Let's start from the beginning. Trotwood, this week, they suffered an odd loss to Whitehall Yearling out of Columbus. This was a barn burner, 110-108 in double overtime. And then Trotwood took care of business against Belmont, 88-46. The Rams beat Thurgood Marshall last week. I was at that game. The Rams, that's the same scenario as to why we didn't move them around in the regular season. To start the season, excuse me. Trotwood has not played enough games for us to really start moving them around too much. And when you look at Tippecanoe, who's 10-0, you really have to look at the Red Devils' resume and really see, do they have enough quality wins to be higher than the Rams? Tip this week beat Piqua 68-53 and West Carrollton 75-65. So the Red Devils are really moving along. They're really cruising still. I believe that was their second win over West Carrollton, so that says a lot about them beating that team. You can fact check me because I'm not 100% sure on that. But really what needs to happen is we need to let Trotwood probably play another week or two. And if Tippecanoe continues to win, and Tippecanoe's 16-0 in a couple of weeks, and Trotwood has one loss versus Whitehall, then we may have to do a side-by-side comparison and look at the win column and see, has Tippecanoe truly beaten better quality teams than Trotwood? Right now, that's hard to tell, and we're not going to have that argument because Trotwood hasn't played enough games where we feel that argument needs to be made yet. Watching Trotwood play when we did, we know this is a good team, so I'm not going to do anything with that yet. Dunbar moving to number three. Dunbar has been phenomenal in the Dayton City League. This week, they beat Belmont 77-49. The Wolverines, I watched them blow out Ponitz to start the season a week ago. They beat Belmont. I believe they beat Thurgood Marshall. I don't have that score in front of me, but I think they beat Thurgood pretty handily. So the Wolverines are off to a hot start, and they've gotten some production from several guys. Chance Amerson, their transfer from Thurgood Marshall, has been really good. Really, though, Anton Allen and Randy Latham, their transfers from Belmont, who are both sophomores, those two have played the best basketball, I think. Anton, especially, has really stepped up his game, and that's why I have Dunbar moving up, is they're starting to show, now that they've started playing, that they're better. In addition, Fenwick didn't play this week due to being on COVID precautions, so I felt this was the best time to move Dunbar when they're playing their best basketball right now. Again, Fenwick did not play. Alter did play. Alter beat Baden 54-45. Both Fenwick, Alter, actually of these teams, I believe Trotwood, Dunbar, Fenwick, and Alter were all supposed to play in Flying to the Hoop this week. We're not going to talk about that because they got canceled, and I don't want to, you know, start crying on this podcast for you yet. But these five, you know, if you listen to this podcast, you know I've said getting into the top five and beating one of these teams is going to be very tough to do. When you look at the honorable mention this week, that's a great. This is exactly why. Benjamin Logan at 6-4, Waynesville at 7-5. These two have been in this honorable mention. They just don't have the wins to get over an Alter or a Fenwick. And at the end of the day, when your top four teams have combined two losses between the four of them, it's going to be tough to crack that top four. Alter, obviously, even though they have a 5-4 record, we know Alter is playing a very tough schedule, and that's why their record looks the way they are. So even though Ben Logan and Waynesville have better winning percentages likely, that's why Alter's there. Rounding out the honorable mention, though, and I knew it would only be a matter of time before this team returned, Oakwood is finally back in the conversation. They are 7-3. The Lumberjacks really got hit hard with COVID in terms of being sitting out due to COVID. I believe they went almost 20 days without playing back in December. They're finally back to playing games, and they're starting to gel. They're starting to play well again, and they're in a position where they are ready to start challenging the Southwestern Buckeye League. So we'll see where that ends up. So that's Division II. Again, getting into this top five is going to be very tough to do. Graham dropped off this week. You know, Graham is 7-5. I just felt like Graham has not really played exceptionally well of recently. They have an opportunity, as I'll talk about later, in a non-league game this week to maybe show they do belong in this list, but it's going to take a very strong showing for them to pull that win off. Going to Division III, and this ended up being the toughest one to pick our rankings this week, because really, this continues to be a tough division overall to pick. In terms of the five teams that made it into the rankings, we believe that the five teams are correct. In terms of what order they need to be in, that is where there's going to be debates, and I'm going to explain why we came to the solution that we did. So, number one this week will be the Greenview Rams. They return as the number one team. Number two will be Preble Shawnee. Number three will be Springfield Shawnee. Four will be Miami East. And five is Anna. If you're a Springfield Shawnee fan, you are probably pretty angry right now that I dropped the Braves to number three. And let me explain why I dropped them where I did. First of all, Shawnee lost last night to Northmont. That is not a bad loss, considering this is a Division III team we're talking about. But it's a loss. And what it did now is it kind of evened the records almost with them, Preble Shawnee, and Greenview. Now, granted, Greenview and Preble Shawnee have 12 wins to Shawnee's 8. They both have 2 losses, so now you can do a much more accurate comparison. What we had to do was look at these three teams and look at their losses and their wins. For Shawnee, they have losses against Jonathan Alder, who's undefeated in Division 2, and now a 3-point loss to Northmont. By no means are these bad losses. For Preble Shawnee, they had losses to Oakwood at the very first game of the season, and they have a loss to Waynesville back in December. They started the year off 1-2. For Greenview, they got absolutely annihilated by Worthington Christian, who's one of the best teams in the state in Division III, and then a head-scratching loss versus Greenan. So when you look at the losses alone, Shawnee had the better losses. But then we had to look at the wins. And when you looked at the quality wins, we felt like that's where Shawnee was lacking. Preble Shawnee is on an 11-game winning streak, in which they've now beaten Waynesville. They beat them Friday night. They've beaten Arcanum. They've beaten National Trail recently. For Greenview, they've also got several quality wins, including beating Catholic Central. They beat Ben Logan, who's a D2 team. They blew out West Liberty Salem, who was ranked last ranking update. And there's a few more. At the end of the day, when you looked at the quality wins, Greenview had more quality wins than both Preble Shawnee and Shawnee, which is why we bumped the Rams up to number one. They're on a 9-game winning streak. They really haven't seen a lot of issues. They beat Fairbanks this week 41-36 and Kenton Ridge 51-42. We felt this week they are the top team in the rankings. Preble Shawnee is number two. Again, they've won 11 straight games. They blew out Waynesville and Tri-County North this week. They beat Waynesville 81-64 and Tri-County North 65-50. Right now, Preble Shawnee is playing the best, these three. But Greenview's quality wins, we think, is what gives them the nod here. Springfield Shawnee, they beat Indian Lake 69-37. They beat Bell Fountain 65-42. And then they lost again to Northmont 62-59. Number four is Miami East at 10-3. They beat National Trail 60-58. And then they got blown out by Meadowdale, 89-63. Miami East does belong here, but they are not a top three team currently. But if we do, my concern is if Shawnee were to lose another game and drop to 8-3, if we then threw them into a side-by-side with Miami East, Miami East may have more wins. That's the problem with Shawnee. The Central Buckeye Conference this year has not been as great. Their best win is a win over Beaver Creek, Shawnee's best win. That's a D1 team, but we're finding out Beaver Creek is not very good, and there's probably several D3 teams that if they played Beaver Creek this year, they would probably win right now, especially with Adam Duvall not playing. I can't help but wonder if Adam Duvall had played in that Shawnee game, would they have beaten the Beavers? That you never know. So this will be interesting if Shawnee were to lose another game. Then you got to compare them to Miami East. Rounding out the rankings this week, number five is Anna. They beat Fairlawn 72-68, and then they picked up probably their win of the season. They beat Botkins, previously undefeated Botkins, 61-59. The Rockets, we were questioning 2 weeks ago. They had lost three straight. We were questioning if they were moving in their negative direction. Beating Fairlawn and then ultimately beating Botkins proved us they're not. For this week, they're definitely ranked. And like I said, we feel like the five teams that we have ranked 1-5 are the right teams. Anna is the one we feel the most confident at number five is where they should be. Rounding out the rankings this week, Arcanum is 9-3. That's a team, the Cross County Conference, because they don't update their stats very often. I haven't had a lot of info. I watched them on film against Brookville, but did not realize they were 9-3. And when you look at who Arcanum has played, they're not really looking like a bad team. So Arcanum's in the also-ran category. Dayton Christian, they've won six straight. They're 8-4, and they are starting to look like they're playing their best basketball after a slow start. And then West Liberty Salem drops after they were number five last week. West Liberty Salem has lost several games in a row. They're now 7-4. And most notably, they got blown out by Cedarville I believe it was Friday to drop them currently. So again, that is why we have Greenview where we do, as well as Preble Shawnee and Springfield Shawnee. This division has been, what we have said from day one, the toughest to pick. But I did say in our last episode, I felt January would be when we would start to see who is moving in the direction of the best team. Well, I feel like with this week, we're seeing there's four teams that are probably your four best the top four ranked teams this week are your four consistencies that they're showing they belong. I will say this for Springfield Shawnee fans, so you know that I do still have some love for you. I think any D3 team right now, the one team I would not want to play in the tournament is Springfield Shawnee. Because unlike some of these other teams in the division, the Braves are playing Division I teams. They beat Beaver Creek. They lost by 3 to Northmont. They're not getting blown out in these games. They're really competing. And beating teams like that are going to get you ready for showdowns with Greenview, with Preble Shawnee. And you're going to have that physicality factor because you've played tougher teams. That's where I would be concerned. And then rounding out the power rankings for this week is Division 4. And again, this one, the number one is a no-brainer now that Botkin's lost. Tri-Village moves to number one. They're 13-0. Number two now, Botkin's at 12-1. Three is Cedarville at 10-1. Four will be Jackson Center at 10-4. Five is Minster at 10-3. Tri-Village moving to number one is a no-brainer. Why? They're undefeated. And we have had them right behind Botkin's all season. They beat Bradford 81-47. And right now on paper, Tri-Village is playing phenomenal basketball. Not that Botkin's is not, but now that Botkin's has a loss, that's what separates the two teams. Botkin's, like we mentioned, lost to Anna, but then they blew out Lima Bath last night 84-55 to get back to their winning ways. So they forgot about it pretty quickly, it looks like. These two teams on paper appear to be the two best in Division 4. Cedarville also has to be mentioned at 10-1. They beat Triad 85-49. And then I think this weekend, Cedarville finally showed that they are playing some quality teams that deserve to keep them in the conversation. They destroyed West Liberty Salem 78-49. And they beat Waynesville 66-52. Now, in the Waynesville game, I can attest that Waynesville had just gotten beaten up the night before by Preble Shawnee. So I don't know how much fatigue was still in there. They had tried to defend Mason Trout. So I'm not sure how much gas they had in the tank going up against Cedarville. But for Cedarville, the big question for them was up until those games, they had not really beaten any high-level teams just yet. In fact, their loss against Northeastern had kind of shown us that they maybe weren't as good as what we originally thought. But these wins keep them in the conversation. When you put them resume-wise up against Tri-Village and Botkin's, I don't know if Cedarville has the same caliber resume, but that is what the playoffs and the tournament will be for. So we'll have to wait and see kind of what happens there. But at least right now, Cedarville at 10-1, most deservingly of that number three spot. Number four is Jackson Center at 10-4. They took a win away from Fort Loramie, beating the Redskins 49-35. And then they got beaten pretty solidly by one of the best D4 teams in the state out of Toledo Christian, 61-48. Jackson Center has, we talked about it 2 weeks ago, they were on a winning ways. They got beat in an absolute barn burner. Well, I should say the opposite of a barn burner. It was literally a 29-26 game against Botkin's last week, 2 weeks ago, excuse me. It looked like the Tigers were still looking, that they were moving in the right direction. And obviously they've lost now two of their last three. But they have a chance. I believe they play Houston, Fairlawn, and I believe Marion Local maybe this week. They play a MAC school. So I think they have a chance to pick up three more wins this week. And really for Jackson Center, that it's those four losses, which is why they're behind. I mean, talent-wise, they may be as good as Cedarville or be able to compete with Cedarville, but those four losses is why they are where they are. Minster's at number five. They blew out two more teams this week, beating Rushi 46-27 and New Knoxville 61-27. Tigers are arguably one of maybe two teams in the MAC that are truly the top teams. And are also ran category this week. St. Henry, that second MAC team at 9-3. Fort Loramie at 9-5. And Catholic Central, Springfield Catholic Central at 10-2. For Fort Loramie, that 9-5 record's deceiving. You look at they're playing a very tough schedule in terms of playing in the Shelby County League, in terms of they're playing MAC schools. That's why their record looks the way it does. And that's what, but with five losses and with so many teams with less than five losses ahead of them, that's why they are just outside of it. Springfield Catholic Central, they're 10-2, but the Irish don't have that signature win yet. They are supposed to play Cedarville this week. That'll be, for both of these teams, will give one of them another quality win. So that will round that out, and that ultimately rounds out the power rankings for this week. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will talk about the games to watch this week, as well as a small segment about where we are at with conference and division outlooks. So stay right there. We'll be right back with you. All right, welcome back after that brief break. In terms of games to watch this week, I'm going to very briefly go over this. I'm just going to start from the top. I went through conference by conference, so this is not going to be in order by date. In the GWOC, we have five games to watch, with three of them involving Centerville. We have our first one is Centerville at Woodward. The Elks have not played in some time, so this will be interesting to see when they go up against a Woodward team that has the best junior in the state, or one of the best juniors in the state, in Paul McMillan. They will host Miamisburg on Friday. This is a rematch of earlier in the year. And if I'm Centerville, I circled this game the second I walked off the floor and lost the first time. If Centerville can put 60-plus in this game, I think they will win. If they're held under 60, I can't guarantee they beat Miamisburg. And then Centerville will host ISA. It's a prep school in Northeast Ohio with several of the top players in the state of Ohio that transferred in there during the offseason. And, you know, it'll basically be, a very intriguing matchup between the two. And our two matchups that are non-Centerville, Springfield goes to Moeller on Saturday. I don't know if Springfield wins this game. Moeller's so good, and Moeller's fresh off a loss against Elder. They play such a different style than what Springfield's used to. I think the Crusaders are gonna win this one. And then Tuesday, Miamisburg will get a rematch very quickly against Wayne. Seth and I are planning on doing audio play-by-play for this one, as long as we get approval for it. And I can tell you right now that this is going to come down to, can Wayne speed it up? If Wayne can play a faster-paced style of play compared to last week, they will win this game. If Miamisburg can keep it close, I think there's a good chance that they will hold on and even the score up and get a win in this one. In the MVL, there's three this week. Butler will go to Troy on Wednesday. The Aviators have not had Tyler Montague the last three games due to an injury. He is hopeful he'll be back for that Wednesday game against Troy. This will be a rematch between the two. They faced off earlier in the year with Butler losing. In that game, Troy completely took Tyler Montague out of the picture. So Montague being not playing the last three games, I don't know where he's going to be at in terms of his scoring. They're going to need him to score close to 25, 30 points, I truly believe, if they're going to beat the Trojans, because Troy defensively had Butler's name all night when they played. I was there in person to watch that game. So this will be a fun one. Friday, there's a doubleheader there. West Carrollton goes to Butler, and Troy goes to Sydney. West Carrollton at Butler. The Pirates, they continue to show. Like I said in the ranking update, they finally started to click and play their best basketball. Going to Butler, who again, we'll have Tyler Montague back after a while. Can the Aviators defend against this fast-paced Pirates team? And then Troy at Sydney. This one's interesting for Sydney. They're sitting here at 5-3 currently, and they haven't really been in the conversation in Division One because, frankly, they just haven't looked like a top-five team. They don't really have a signature win on their resume. And beating Troy at home would give them that signature win, which they really need. They need to show that they are one of the best teams in the Miami Valley League. And as you're going to hear a little later, they're still within striking distance in their division. And beating Troy would go a positive direction for them. In the Southwestern Buckeye League, we only have about four here.
And really, the game that's going to the biggest one of these four is Tuesday, Bellbrook at Franklin. Currently in the Southwestern Division, Franklin is undefeated at 6-0, and you have Bellbrook right behind them at 4-2. For Franklin, if they go and win this game Tuesday night, that will put them three games ahead of second place, because Bellbrook is not. Bellbrook has a couple teams right on their tail. Franklin would have a three-game lead with five games left on their schedule, and two of those five are against Eaton, who's winless in the Southwestern Buckeye League. This game really could determine the Southwestern Division right away. For Bellbrook, even if you win this game, it doesn't guarantee that you win the division, but it puts you one game back, so you have a little bit of wiggle room. And you just hope that some of these other teams that you're going to hear about a little later can give Franklin at least a challenge. But Franklin, I can be honest with you, their only loss on the year was to McNicholas, and they haven't looked like they've struggled very much on paper. I haven't watched them play yet or watch film, but just from their statistics and games, they haven't looked like they've struggled very much. This is going to really go a big way in terms of who wins that Southwestern division. The other game Tuesday night, Valley View goes to Monroe. Again, there's such a clutter there in the middle of the Southwestern Division. It's going to be a matter of who kind of gets some separation. Friday, we get two of the top teams in both divisions playing. Waynesville, who is in a tie in the Buckeye Division, going up against Franklin. These games do not, as far as I know, with the Southwestern Buckeye League, these games don't count as league games. This will count as a non-league matchup. So this won't affect Franklin's undefeated record, especially if they beat Bellbrook. And then Saturday, we will have Miami East at Milton Union. Miami East, you know, they've played quite a slate of games. And for Milton Union, they need to win this matchup just to get them going. As you're going to hear in the Buckeye Division, it's such a challenge right now with there's really two teams that are running the division, and then Milton Union, one of two teams right there at 3-3. They need to get into a groove, and it starts with beating a Miami East team that has proven they're one of the top teams in D3. If the Bulldogs can win that, it'll give them some momentum as they then prepare for Preble Shawnee next week, who is riding an 11-game winning streak currently. In the GCL, we've got three games. Monday, Graham goes to Alter. For Graham, they just dropped out of the power rankings because we felt they just haven't really, they've kind of fallen off the radar. Beating Alter would be quite a statement win for them, but Alter also is going to bring a style of play that Graham is not used to. I do think Alter will win this game, but Graham, if they were to win this, it would definitely open the argument of, would that finally give a team a chance to crack the top five outside of the five that are currently there? CJ goes to Carroll on Tuesday. For CJ, you have to feel for them. They had several games postponed to start the year due to COVID precautions. They played four there in December, and then they haven't played since December 29th. And now they're going to play Carroll, their rivals. And hopefully they're at full health and ready to go in this one, but you just got a feel for them. They just haven't been able to really get into a groove. And frankly, it's going to really be hard to tell if they're going to be able to pull a win out this one. The good news is they do turn around and play Carroll again on Friday, and that game will be at CJ, so they can very quickly forget about the outcome of Tuesday night's matchup and prepare for a rematch. And then speaking of rematch, Friday night we have a much anticipated matchup between Fenwick and Alter. Fenwick won the first time these two teams fared off, which is why Fenwick is ranked higher in the power rankings. But Fenwick also hasn't played in over a week due to they had to go on a pause. For Alter, this is going to be a very high-energy game for them. They obviously want to get revenge after losing once before. And I truly think on paper, Alter is playing better than they were earlier in the year, and they're now playing the way they need to in order to beat the Falcons. This will go a long way in terms of the GCL race if Fenwick stays in competition. Alter's kind of out of the running right now at 3-3, and frankly, even if they beat Fenwick, it's going to be hard for them to really get far in the GCL, but we'll talk about that briefly here shortly. In the Dayton City League, there's only one game here, Dunbar at Meadowdale.
I've watched three Dayton City League teams play Dunbar, or seen three City League teams play Dunbar. Nobody has been able to give them a challenge. Meadowdale may be that last hope. If Meadowdale can't beat them, Dunbar will be very much on the way to winning the City League, and we're not even fully into that league play yet. In the cross-county conference, there's only one major matchup. Arcanum goes to Tri-Village. The Trojans, they're kind of looking for that win. We noted that at 9-3, their three losses have been against three of the better teams on their schedule. They need to show they can beat the better teams. And Tri-Village comes in here. They're undefeated. What better time to knock off the last undefeated team in the Division IV for the Trojans? In the Central Buckeye Conference, we've got two matchups here. North Union goes to Graham, and Springfield Shawnee goes to Ben Logan. For Graham, they're going to have to forget about that Alter game on Monday very quickly and face off against North Union, who's undefeated. And frankly, they look like they're on a tear as well. For Shawnee, going to Ben Logan, we are talking about them and how the Braves have kind of not had a lot of... We talked about how the Central Buckeye Conference has not been a lot of quality wins for the Braves. They have to win these games against teams like Ben Logan, like Graham, when they get matchups against them, because they don't have a lot of other opportunities minus the GWOC teams that they've already played to show that they are deserving of being one of the top teams. So beating Ben Logan on the road would be a big matchup for them. In the Ohio Heritage Conference, Cedarville is featured in both of our key games. Tuesday night, they get Catholic Central. We kind of mentioned this in the ranking recap. For both of these teams, a win would be a signature win for either one of them. Cedarville, they just had one of the best weekends of basketball this past weekend, picking up the wins that they did get. If they can continue to add on to these quality wins, it'll help their argument in terms of when it gets time for the postseason, comparing them to Botkins. And then obviously Saturday, they host Legacy Christian. For Legacy Christian, they have not been talked about this year because the Metro Buckeye Conference really hasn't been that solid. And with two teams that haven't played yet or have played so few games, the conference hasn't had a lot of chances to show how deep they can be. But Legacy Christian's 9-2, and for them, if you can beat Cedarville on the road, that would, one, hurt Cedarville, and two, would help the Knights' argument that they do belong in the conversations. Speaking of the Metro Buckeye Conference, Dayton Christian goes to Troy Christian. This is going to be a challenge of who can stay in the running for the Metro Buckeye Conference title. Dayton Christian's one game out, and Troy Christian's currently tied at the top with Legacy Christian. So for the Warriors, this would give them a chance to try to even the score and give them a shot at being near the top. The Shelby County League has three matchups this week. Anna goes to Fort Loramie. For Anna, can they continue on the winning streak they've gotten? They just beat Botkins and handed the Trojans their first loss. Can they continue that tear? For Fort Loramie, can they get themselves back in the running here in the Shelby County League? They're currently two games out of first place, so they need a win tonight. And for Anna, they're done playing Botkins and is currently one game back. So Anna has to win this game. If they were to lose, the separation gap between them and Botkins at 1-2 is going to get too big, and this will probably give the Trojans a walk into the league title. Botkins then turns around and plays Fort Loramie at home, and Friday night, Seth and I will be on the call for this one. Again, for Fort Loramie, if they don't beat Anna, they can beat Botkins, and that'll help close that gap. Botkins then turns around on Saturday and takes on New Bremen. And New Bremen, while they're not the most athletic or most explosive team, they have given a lot of teams in our rankings fits this year, and there's no doubt they're going to probably give Botkins a game too. This will really, for Botkins, be telling. They played such a tough schedule to start the year. Do they still have gas in the tank? Was Anna lost just a fluke? So playing New Bremen will kind of tell us where the Trojans are at in terms of, do they still have the energy? Playing Fort Loramie the night before isn't going to help them either. And then our last game to watch this week will be Taft out of Cincinnati traveling to Trotwood. If you could watch a live stream of this, I surely hope you do. This is going to be two of the best athletic teams you're going to find. For Taft, they've got Ravon Griffith, who is one of the top players in that 2023 class. And really, that Taft team is very comparable to Trotwood in that they've got a lot of explosiveness. Defensively, they're going to play very fast, and they're going to try to make you play as fast as possible. This is going to be much like that Whitehall game that Trotwood lost, where both teams were over 100 points. And for Trotwood, you know, you're hoping that they are finally in a groove after getting off to a slow start due to them not playing or practicing since the beginning of January. So we'll see what happens here in terms of can they get the W. But Taft is most definitely going to bring a style of play that is going to really test Trotwood early in the year. So we're going to take another break here, and when we come back, we will go over the conference races and the 11 conferences that we cover. We're only in the middle of January, but there are some races that have already been determined and others that are just getting started. So we'll be right back with you. All right, thanks for sticking with us through the break. Our last segment here, as I talked about previously, will be our conference outlook. So there are 11 conferences and leagues that we cover here in the Dayton area, into the expanding areas of Northwest Ohio as well, with the MAC and the SCAL. And some of these conference races have kind of already been determined. Other ones are far from over, and some are moving in a certain direction. So a lot of people don't really think outside of their own conference. For example, you know, your fans at Carroll probably don't know a lot about the Metro Buckeye Conference, who's running that. So that's kind of what this is going to be, is currently where we're at. We may do this segment a few more times throughout the year, but at least for now, it felt like it's a good time. We're only about a month away from the tournament draw, so it felt like a good time to go ahead and do it. So let's start from the beginning. Our most common one, the GWOC, the Greater Western Ohio Conference. It's a three-team race at the top. And this segment's only going to talk about the contenders. I'm not going to get into the entire conference standings. So in the GWOC, currently right now, you have Wayne sitting at the top at 6-1, Centerville at 5-1, Miamisburg 5-2. And in the GWOC, they changed their rules this year because of COVID. They were not going to count every conference game as towards your conference record. So basically, the first time you play an opponent, it'll count towards your record. The second time, it won't. So the Wayne-Miamisburg game on Friday that we've talked about a couple times, that game went on both Wayne and Miamisburg's record. The game on Tuesday that we will be calling live will not go on their conference record, but will go on the overall record. So the GWOC is basically almost determined then because of that. So Wayne at 6-1, with their win over Miamisburg Friday, clinched at least a share of the conference. So Centerville is the X factor here. Centerville will play Springboro February 9th, I believe, and that will determine whether we have a shared title or if Wayne wins outright. Centerville beats Springboro, which very good chance it's going to happen. Centerville and Wayne will share it, even though Southwest Ohio Full Court Press, we would determine Centerville as a champion because Centerville would have the head-to-head win over Wayne. But by the GWOC standards, they would split it. If Centerville were to lose to Springboro, Wayne would be the outright champion. In the GCL co-ed, we have the top three right now. Roger Bacon sits at the top at 4-0. McNicholas is right behind them at 5-1. Fenwick is behind them at 3-1. Another notable one, Alter's 3-3, and then Carroll is 2-3. So Roger Bacon's really been a surprise team in the GCL. I don't think anyone thought they were going to be 4-0 and have wins over Alter and McNicholas to start the year. I believe McNicholas's only loss so far has been to Roger Bacon, I believe. So that's been kind of a surprise there. But the GCL race, far from over. Obviously, Fenwick at 3-1, they had a couple games postponed. You know, if Fenwick beats Alter on Friday, this upcoming Friday, that'll go a long way towards their record. This, there's really not much to talk about because, like I said, it's still wide open race. Roger Bacon could lose two games in the next 2 weeks, and then the conversation's completely different. So that's just where we're at currently with the GCL. The Southwestern Buckeye League, this is where one of the more interesting ones in the area. In the Buckeye Division, we have a tie at the top with Preble Shawnee and Waynesville both at 6-1. The next closest team is at 3-3. Both Preble Shawnee and Waynesville have played each other once now, and they both won a game, so they're done playing against one another. At this point, there's about five games left. I believe the Swivel plays 12 games in their league schedule. There's five games left for each of these teams. Basically, if one of these teams were to lose, it's all said and done. It's over with. Preble Shawnee is the more likely. I believe on our broadcast on Friday, Seth and I actually discussed and said that technically Waynesville has the tougher schedule of the two. But keep in mind that the Southwestern Buckeye League doesn't count cross divisional games towards your record. In other words, when Waynesville plays Franklin this week, it will not count against their records on their conference records just overall. So Preble Shawnee and Waynesville, they're definitely your top two. There's really, not a ton of conversation there. The Southwestern division is where things get a little hairy, and we did talk a little bit about this already. You got Franklin at 6-0. They're in control of the division. There's really not much to talk about in terms of that. After that, though, there's four teams all within half a game of each other. You got Bellbrook at 4-2. Then you've got Monroe at 4-3. And then you have Oakwood and Valley View both at 3-3. So this division is very, very complex. Franklin is in control, without a doubt, right now. And if they beat Bellbrook, that would put a three-game lead or three games in between Franklin and then whoever's in second place. Obviously, like we mentioned previously, Monroe is supposed to play Valley View, which will knock one of these teams to four losses and further separate it. There's a lot of questions in terms of, now that Oakwood's starting to play better, will they get into a groove? Could they give Franklin a game? Franklin hasn't looked very weak this year, so it makes me wonder if there's a team in this division that can even give them a challenge. This race really is going to be interesting if Bellbrook beats Franklin on Tuesday night. If Franklin wins that game, there may not be much more to talk about it, because like we said in the game previews, Franklin would then be 7-0 with five games left to play and two of those being against a winless Eaton team. So Franklin would be in a very good position to go ahead and finish the year off with a title, but we'll have to wait and see what happens there. The Miami Valley League is split into two divisions, the Miami and the Valley. In the Miami division, your top three, you got Tippecanoe at 10-0. Troy at 8-3, Butler at 7-4. You may be wondering, wow, those records sound just like their overall records. It is. The MVL is only playing against each other this year. In this situation, Tippecanoe definitely in control. They've been really riding this long 10-game winning streak thus far. Even if they drop a game here to Troy or Butler, they clearly have at least a three-game lead right now. There's not much to talk about there. Where there is to talk about is the Valley Division, where that division's more of a race. Right now, West Carrollton has a half-game lead over Sydney. The Pirates are at 6-3. Sydney is at 5-3. In this scenario, there is quite a debacle there, because the Pirates are starting to play their best basketball, like we've talked about previously. You have Sydney that, on paper, hasn't really played the strongest schedule as of yet. And there's a lot of questions. I don't even think these two have played each other yet. So this is going to be a very interesting dynamic as well. These two are clearly the best teams in that Valley Division. And when they play one another, there's going to be a lot of questions. Obviously, West Carrollton has the better athletes, but Sydney arguably could be considered one of the better defensive teams. So there's a lot of question marks in that aspect. The Central Buckeye Conference, this one again is not, there's not a lot to discuss on this one. The Kenton Trail and the Mad River Division is what these two are split into. The Kenton Trail Division, you got Jonathan Alder, 5-0. They're undefeated overall. They're a state ranked team. You got Shawnee right behind them at 4-1. Shawnee's only loss thus far this conference season has been to John Alder. Then you have Tecumseh and Kenton Ridge, both at 2-2. I would say this race is going to come down to Alder and Shawnee. It's going to come down to who wins that rematch. because I don't really think there. I don't think there's anybody else in the Kent and Sherrill division that's going to give Shawnee much of a game. Tecumseh, we watched play. While they looked solid when we saw them play, they just don't have that extra step, I think, to beat a Shawnee group that when we watched them play, were clearly one of the better, fundamentally sound teams out there. In the Mad River division, it's a little bit different because North Union leads that. They're 5-0. There's a tie for second between Benjamin Logan and Indian Lake, both at 3-2. So with them being two games out, that one's a little more complicated because North Union could lose to a Ben Logan and still have that one game lead. So this division's a little bit more not over with, but it's more on it's not as competitive, it looks like. In the Ohio Heritage Conference, again, there's a North and a South division. In the North, West Liberty Salem's in control at 5-2. Northeastern's a half game back at 4-2. Fairbanks is also in the running there at 3-3. This is going to be an interesting one. West Liberty Salem has struggled the last week. They're on a three-game losing streak. Northeastern, while they don't have necessarily the strongest-looking schedule, they have probably their win of their season beating Cedarville. That win is the reason Cedarville's not in control of the OHC South. So this North division, they do count when a North school plays a South school, that counts on the conference record. So that's going to be interesting dynamic to see the rest of the way. You know, where does that put a team like a Northeastern or a West Liberty Salem if they play a Greenview or they play Catholic Central? Fairbanks is just kind of in the running. You know, if Northeastern and West Liberty Salem were to really struggle down the stretch, Fairbanks could find themselves competing. But, you know, I don't necessarily know if I would be banking on that. No pun intended there. The South Division is definitely the more competitive of the two. You've got Greenview at 8-1, Cedarville at 7-1, and Catholic Central at 8-2. Catholic Central's already played Greenview once and did lose. They have a game with Cedarville this week, and I think that game's going to really play a major role in where we're at. If Cedarville wins that game, that would put Catholic Central two games out, and that really makes it complicated for them to climb back in. They still would have another matchup with both teams, but Greenview and Cedarville still have to play each other as well. In fact, like I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, of Cedarville's last five games of the season, two of them are against Greenview. So that is where that race is at. So I think that's going to be hard to tell too. Obviously, both of these teams have a loss that makes you scratch your head. Greenview's second game of the year losing to Greenan, and Cedarville's loss to Northeastern. Obviously, any team is beatable, as you saw, because of that. And really, it makes you wonder if one of these teams were to lose to a Catholic Central, to a Madison Plains, lose to Greenan if they played again, that could really play a major effect. So it could come down to every game besides Greenview and Cedarville playing each other to determine who wins this conference. The Metro Buckeye Conference is currently a tie at the top. Both teams are 5-1 between Legacy Christian and Troy Christian. Dayton Christian's one game back at 4-2. And Emmanuel Christian is sitting right behind at 3-2, I believe. I can't read my handwriting here. It looks like that's a 2. Regardless, they're behind Dayton Christian. Right now, neither Legacy Christian or Troy Christian have played each other yet. There is a good chance that it is going to come down to someone besides just these two. If Dayton Christian beats Troy Christian this week, which is a very good possibility, that would put Legacy Christian in control currently. Legacy Christian is a team we haven't seen yet, but they're kind of a question mark. They didn't necessarily bring back a lot of pieces from last year, but they have a guy in Jonathan Riddle, a 6'5 senior, that has been the X factor for this team, and he has been really doing everything for them. Because of that, that's why you see Legacy Christian with the record they have. And like we mentioned, if they beat Cedarville, then all of a sudden we start talking about them. We haven't talked about them because of their lack of really a quality win up to this point in the season. But if you can beat Cedarville, that would be the win they need. The Cross County Conference, Tri-Village is in control here. They have a half game lead over Arcanum. Get Miami East at 5-1, right behind. Troy Village doesn't play Miami East till I believe February, so that could change a lot. I do anticipate Tri-Village will beat Arcanum on Tuesday night, which would put Arcanum two games out. In this game, it's very difficult to kind of tell where this race is going to go, because I do believe, and I will own up to this if I'm incorrect, I could see Tri-Village losing a game before they play Miami East. We have seen a few times this year, Tri-Village has had some tight matchups. They're not blowing out everybody they play. I could see the Wright Cross County Conference team coming in, and you shoot the ball exceptionally well, and you hold Tri-Village under 50 points, you're going to have a shot to beat them. So that race could still change very much. It's kind of like the GCL, where there's not much to talk about there. The same can be said for the MAC. The MAC, you've got Minster at 4-0, Fort Recovery and St. Henry sitting right behind him at 3-0, and then Marion Local at 2-1. You can't talk much about this conference because you've got three undefeateds at the top that haven't even played one another yet. Once those teams start to play one another, then we'll be able to tell who is kind of moving towards the direction of winning that conference. In the Dayton City League, this is going to be a very brief discussion. Right now, we're only three games into the league. Right now, it appears Dunbar is going to win this league, and they may go undefeated in the process. They have blown out three teams in the City League so far up to this point. Ponitz appeared to be the only one I thought on paper that was going to match up with them, and we watched what happened. Now, granted, that was the first game of the year. Maybe Ponitz, will play better when they play the second time. But at least right now, from what we've seen, Dunbar looks like they are the clear-cut favorite in this one. That could change a lot, too. And then last but not least is the Shelby County Athletic League. You've got Botkins in control at 6-1, Anna at 5-2, and then both Fort Loramie and Jackson Center at 5-3. This league is one of the more interesting ones, I believe, because your first and second ranked teams right now don't play each other anymore. You know, if you look at the rest of the conferences, you know, minus the Southwestern Buckeye League Buckeye Division, there's not a lot of situations where your two best teams don't play each other. Botkins and Anna split the regular season, so obviously Botkins' one loss is against Anna. They have a one-game lead over Anna. As long as Botkins wins out, they should be fine. Why this is very interesting is Botkins is also not playing Jackson Center anymore this year. They finished that series up. There's only one more team. They play Fort Loramie on Friday night, and that would be their last major test in the Shelby County League. I don't see this team losing to Fairlawn or Rushi or Houston. I just don't. So as long as Botkins takes care of business against Fort Loramie, they're in a position where I would say they have a good shot at winning. But obviously we play the game for a reason. For Fort Loramie, even if they beat Botkins, that doesn't help them very much because they've got three losses. They would have to win out as well. So that race is really going to be interesting to watch. Does Botkins take care of business? If you're Anna, you're going to be rooting for everyone that plays Botkins from here on out. Because if Anna wins out and Botkins loses two games, the Rockets would get the title. So that'll wrap up that segment. And that segment, I can't talk today, guys. I'm sorry. And that's going to wrap up this episode. So a little bit of a longer one, but there was a lot of information to digest there, a lot of information to go over. We're about 4 weeks away from the tournament draw. So some of these teams, a lot of teams here that we talked about in our games to watch, they have to get wins this week. You have to get into a groove and you have to get something going. You can't afford to slip up here and there at this point. You got to start playing in a position, you know, if you're like a Preble Shawnee that's got 11 wins, you want to be playing your best basketball going into that draw. And we'll talk more about how the draw works and whatnot when it gets closer. For now, teams just got to focus on taking care of business. Obviously, we still see situations of teams going on postponements. You know, let's get all of our postponements down in the regular season so that when we get to tournament, we don't have teams having to forfeit. That's what I'm hoping for here. So let's power through these next couple of weeks and get to a point where we get the postseason. And then it's going to be all fun from there, guys. So I'm excited. Seth's excited. We started doing play-by-play, as you may have heard. If you're interested in advertising on our live streams, please get in contact with me. We'd love to work with you. I do want to give a shout out on this podcast to TKDS Sports Network, and their owner Kevin has been very grateful and gracious working with us. He's been helping me out with, you know, checking out some of these games and getting me access to see some of these teams play. So I'm very appreciative to Kevin for that. And TKDS, if you get a chance to listen to their, go ahead and listen to some of their, I shouldn't say listen, watch some of their live streams. They do audio and video, and they actually call the games, and they've got a, they're actually looking for more people to help because they cover so many games in this area, but they do a really good job of it. And I'm very appreciative that there's organizations out there that let these kids be seen. Cause obviously I love that Seth and I can give audio to let kids be, their games be live streamed, but obviously when you can see it, that helps too. And it helps college coaches that want to watch as well. So thank you, TKDS. Thank you, Kevin. Greatly appreciated for all you guys do, and for not just us and the area, but for these kids as well. So that's going to wrap up this episode. I want to thank everyone again for tuning in. And, again, Tuesday, as long as we get approval, we will be at Miamisburg and Wayne calling that game. Friday, we will be at Botkins High School as they host Fort Loramie. And then I'm sure there will be some live streams here and there that we'll be tuning into and covering as well. So for this episode, this is Tony Peters signing off. We'll talk to you guys soon.